Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You're listening to episode 131 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to do a race recap of the Revel Big Bear Marathon. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got the Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey, runners, and welcome to episode 131.
Hi, Letty and runners.
Hey, Ryan and runners.
So, you have one of your favorite types of episodes.
Yay, we're going to do a recap of an event that I attended almost a week ago.
Without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So I'll try to organize you and you tell us about your race.
Sounds awesome.
So you had a race. You want to tell us where it was?
Yes. So this is the Revel Big Bear Marathon taking place in California. And it's a downhill marathon going from Big Bear, or not on top of Big Bear, but close to the top of Big Bear, and you run down to San Bernardino. So the easiest way to get there would be either flying into LAX or even closer, Ontario Airport.
So were you excited for the race?
I was excited because I was curious about how one of those downhills would go.
You've done a downhill before.
I have, but that was not when I was really training. That was in law school when I was just kind of leisurely running marathons. And I knew even then my time had improved. So now that I've trained a little bit more, I was curious about how it was going to go.
So for reference, the other marathon you did was in Utah. And how much over your average time did you improve by doing the downhill?
So probably 10 minutes.
Okay. So we'll get back to that later.
Okay.
And so this marathon, do you like Revel races?
I think I'm at this point at a love and hate relationship. You know, I'd only done one and I do like the organization of it. We've interviewed the people from Revel race in episode 110 about downhill running and particularly the downhill races. So that was kind of interesting. So I do like the organization, the swag, and all that stuff.
Well, and so did you like the Big Bear Marathon?
I will never run that marathon again.
So before we get into that, on your rating scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the Big Bear Revel Marathon?
Taking into consideration how well organized it was, how great the communication was via email, the tracking ability, and all that stuff, it would have been a 10. So I'm going to give it a 5. I will never run that race again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, 5 is like I'll never run it again. So really, we should think of your scale as being from 5 to 10.
Well, I can't give it a 1 because I'm rating the entire experience. So let's get into
okay.
that.
Okay. So it's a 5. Okay. So do you want to go through it like sequence wise from your day? Okay, so we'll do flying in. So when did you fly out of here and into LA?
This race is on a Saturday. Most Revel races are on Saturdays. I left Thursday evening. Normally, I would have given myself more time, but because this is in a small town and there wasn't much going on, I found a day ahead to be sufficient. So I got in about, 10 o'clock p.m., went to the hotel and gave myself a full day to acclimate.
So the thing you like, the only thing you like more than actually marathons is the...
The expo.
Did you go?
I did go to the expo, and unfortunately, the expo was rather small. I know that the Revel Marathons usually have bigger expos, and I had seen that in Cottonwood, you know, 10 years ago. So for whatever reason, it was a little bit smaller. But, you know, there was a lot of good information at the expo. One of the coaches of the Revel Marathon was literally standing there giving a course analysis about the rolling hills and the elevation change and giving us tips. So I feel like that was really invaluable information that probably made my marathon.
What did you eat before the night before the marathon, last meal?
So since the race, we had to bus out so early, and we'll get into that, I'm sure. I had some pizza at noon, and then in the evening when my roommate for the night, which is this girl, Emily Morley, that I know from running, when she came, we went over to Panera's, and I just had a cup of soup, and that was basically it. So I didn't really fuel that much for that race. I don't know. For some reason, didn't really fuel the food that day.
No carb loading.
Not that much.
Okay, so what time do you go to bed?
So I tried to go to bed at 8:30, and I honestly couldn't fall asleep till like 10:30 for whatever reason.
Well, 10:30 would be really late our time, because so California versus our time is 3 hours. So
yeah,
that's like really late for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't sleep.
And what time do you have to wake up?
So we had to wake up at 2 o'clock. So, wow. Yeah, because of the busing, you have to be bussed up, and the buses were to leave between 3:30 and 4:15. So, you know, when you run a marathon, you kind of have to wake up early so you can try to make yourself go to the bathroom. I know it's TMI, but it's a reality. You want to get a good poop in.
So you wake up, you get on your super early bus, and then what time do you end up at the top of the mountain then?
So we got onto, okay, here's a funny thing that happened. We get to the bus line, and everyone, knowing that it was going to be 20 degrees Fahrenheit, so minus 6 Celsius up on the mountain, everyone was standing by the buses, and nobody was getting onto the buses. So the poor volunteers were yelling at people saying, you need to get on the bus, because if you don't get on the bus, then nobody can leave. So it was really kind of awkward. Anyway, so then...
What do you mean? They were just waiting for it to warm up?
Yeah, because people didn't want to be up on the mountain.
And wait for the race to start?
Yeah, so then...
So, but they didn't know how long it would take, right?
Right, but then they figured, you know, safety is in what is it called?
Safety in numbers?
Safety is in numbers, and so nobody wanted to get on the bus, but then finally people did go on the bus. For whatever reason, it took us an hour to get up this mountain. And
I mean, that's probably typical, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it takes a while.
Windy roads.
Yeah, it's a narrow, windy road to the top of
Big
Bear.
And it was dark, and they were blowing the heat. So at, you know, maybe 45 minutes into it, I became really motion sick from that. So I'm sitting
there.
Well,
you get motion sick extremely easy.
I guess so. And
okay. So you're running on a cup of soup, you're motion sick, and you're going to freezing cold weather, which you don't like. Is that the synopsis so far?
That's the synopsis.
So you get to the top. What's your strategy for the day?
I had the strategy of staying warm. I was wearing a lot of throwaway clothes. So I wore 3 shirts to throw away and 1 pair of pants. And I had put shower caps over my shoes because I wear the Alpha Flies and they're extremely thin. And that actually worked pretty well. So we stood in line for the porta potties. And then
the bonus is your shoes stay clean when you go to the porta potty.
Yeah, that's true too. And then I took off the shower caps. Then I put them back on. And I literally was standing in the corral pretty close to the front because, you know, I don't mind starting in the front. I'll let people pass. But I was standing there and I didn't want to take my clothes off until it was literally 2 minutes before 6. But then the race didn't start on time. So I stood there for 10 minutes in shorts and a tank top with all my throwaway clothes over my shoulders waiting for the race to start. And then it finally started.
So strategy was more in... So when I said strategy, I meant strategy for the race.
Oh.
Like what were you going to... what was your plan? Just go out full from the beginning, pace yourself... I mean, it's a little bit hilly at the beginning, and then it kind of gives a downhill for the rest of the way, right?
Yes. And luckily, I had listened to the speaker at the expo who had explained the course in very much detail. So I knew the first 9 miles were going to be difficult for me because I'm coming from very flat training. In Florida, it's very flat. And so that was the plan. And then kind of roll into it, warm up and go down that hill. And then it flattens out. So then just kind of hang in there.
So part of your strategy is that you weren't going to watch your watch, right? And you were just going to see how you felt?
Well, that strategy I developed at mile 2 in my head because okay. I didn't see a purpose in checking my watch because the watch isn't really an indicator of how fast I'm going per se because I'm, you know, it's an accumulation of how you're doing within the whole mile. So what's that going to do for me? I just decided I'm just going to go by effort. And as a reward, if I finish this whole race, I'm going to check the watch at 26 miles and then see.
So you say effort, but effort could also be indicated by heart rate or other things, but you didn't want to check. You're not really used to that, or you just don't want to check any of that?
Yeah, I don't check the heart rate normally. I just go by what feels easy and what feels hard. And I was going to put in a good effort. And I probably put in a little bit of a harder effort than I normally would have because I knew that having there a huge part being downhill, I could really make a difference. So I put in a harder effort than I intended to, but then I just try to, you know, stick with that.
You should look back and see what your heart rate was for the race and see if it was relatively consistent. But timing is off because of the hills. It makes it difficult to check your pace because it'll be very different. So you want to go through, let's go through your race. First half, second half. So start with the first half. Any memorable events during the first half?
Yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful course. What I do remember is that my feet were freezing cold and that didn't go away till mile 4 or 5. I almost stopped at some point because I felt a sensation as if something was in my shoe and I didn't know if it was just a bulged up part of a sock or what it was. So I, you know, at some point was kind of stamping down on my foot as I was running to try to get it out. But then I said to myself, you know what, just relax because your feet will thaw out eventually. And I remember it's just, you know, being in shorts, it was extremely cold on my skin. But every once in a while, there was a ray of sun that I could feel on my leg. And it just felt weird because it was like hot, cold. And I don't know, I felt a little bit nauseated. I don't know if that was because I was breathing extra hard because we were at a high altitude.
Or the bus ride.
Yeah. And then another thing I remembered was that there were ice patches on the street. And I was pretty amazed by how the other runners around me, including myself too, would point them out and signal. So then we would, you know, let each other in and let each other not step on that.
Around the ice patches.
And so I didn't see anyone fall. I know some people fell, but the people around me and I, we didn't. And I feel like it was really a lot of camaraderie for that.
Did you notice the elevation in terms of your breathing?
Absolutely. I was breathing pretty loudly. I know at some point one of my songs turned off and I could hear my breathing and I was like, Jesus, I hope the song comes back on because it was so loud. So I felt bad for the other runners around.
You did pretty good though, pace wise though, even at the beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did give it a good effort. But you know, again, it's rolling hills. I know I struggled a lot with the uphills, but I told myself that I'd actually looked at the course for once, so I knew it wasn't going to be forever, but it did feel like forever, definitely.
So when did the sun come up?
The sun was up, but
it was the start of the race?
Cold, yeah. I mean, okay. I think a few miles into it, if I remember correctly, the sun came up.
Like all the way up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so second half. Memorable experiences during the second half. Besides the finish, of course.
Yeah. So the second half, there were some parts where the downhill was steeper. At the same time, I think I was going at an effort level that was more than I was expecting myself to do. So, you know, I was kind of around mile 16 was the first time that thoughts entered my head. Like, I really don't want to finish this. And I started thinking about options and whether or not there would be a possibility of just stopping.
There are really no options on that road, is there?
No, because you are going down the hill on one side of the road. And so if anything, every once in a while, there would be a car going up, but there was no cars going down. So even if you were to stop in that freezing cold weather, you would have to try to find an Uber, which, you know, you probably wouldn't get until after the race. And guess what?
What?
My plane was leaving 2 hours after the race finished, so...
So you had to get down.
Had to get down that hill. So, you know, that was the first time those thoughts entered my head. And then when it leveled out around mile 20, I hated running. I was in my head telling myself I will never have to run on this street ever again in my entire human life if I just finish this. And, you know, I was kind of bargaining with myself, but I really didn't like running. It took forever, those last 6 miles. It was just really long, kind of like, you know, my recap right now.
Yeah. Is there any point where you felt like, okay, this is a lot warmer and now I'm more comfortable? So mile 5, you felt better, but you didn't get warm until like 6 miles to the finish?
No. Okay, so I did get warm after my feet thawed out and I felt comfortable after that. I never really felt 100% uncomfortable.
So now you can tell us about the finish, because up to that point, you can tell us when, but up to some point, you weren't even looking at your watch. You didn't know your time. You were just trying to go by perceived effort level. So now you can go through the finish and then your race with another runner at the last minute.
Yes. So, so I didn't check the watch, honestly, until approximately mile 26. I told myself that I was gonna give that to myself as a reward. So if I really just finish at mile 26, I get to check my watch. So guess what? I see the finish line and it's still far away. And I'm thinking, okay, this is probably mile 26. And I look at my watch, and the way I have my garment arranged is I have the heart rate, I have the overall time, I have the pace time, and then I have the field for the overall time. And I'm looking at this watch, and on the top, it says my pace time. But then next to it, kind of below, it said the pace time again. And that was really confusing. And then I realized that the pace time had another number in front of it. So it was really the hour, minute, and seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like it makes the first digit smaller. And I saw that it said 3:07 and some seconds. So that totally blew me away, because I was just hoping to break the whole 3:18 mark. And I had no idea. I just knew by my perceived effort towards the end that I was feeling super tired.
So you were excited.
I guess, yeah, I was excited. And so then I had to just ring it in until the finish line. And I told myself, I'm not going to go over 3:10 now that I'm so close to ever breaking 3:10. And there was this girl who had been an obviously much faster runner than me, but she would always walk through the water stations and then she would look back and she would see me and then she'd run again. So when I saw my time, I started picking up the pace, and she turned around and she looked at me and she yelled, "Oh no, not today." And then she started running away and she took off, I mean, faster than I could probably sprint a 200 meters on good legs. And I was thinking, where did she have all her energy from? But it was funny.
And so you finished your race.
Yes, I crossed the finish line, and right, or I guess left next to it, was the medical tent and a chair. And that chair looked so good that I sat in it.
And started crying.
I did start crying. I was overwhelmed with emotions. I don't even know what I was feeling. I was happy the race was over, and I was kind of overwhelmed by this crazy finishing time. And so the medic gave me a hug.
And asked if you needed help because you were in the medic tent.
But I just couldn't get up.
And then you were on the phone with me, and he couldn't understand you because you were crying. And then you said, "I can't get up. I can't get up. I got to go." And so you left.
Yep.
The phone call.
Yep. Yes. And then I found my friends and we were all hugging. My friend that was trying to run under 3 hours, she ran her marathon in 2:56. And that was it. So, you know, I wish I would have had more time to go through the finish line festivities because it looked really inviting and really fun. But I had to rush back to the hotel room, take a shower, and then my friends gave me a ride to the airport.
Did you make your flight?
I did, and I had an extra 30 minutes at the airport, so I stopped, I had a beer, I had some french fries, and that was that.
And then you cramped up on the plane ride home.
No, the cramping didn't start until, I think, the day after.
So, when you finished the race, you said you'll never run it again. Sometimes, though, after you've had some time to reflect, you might change your thoughts, but doesn't seem like you have.
Not for this particular race. I might try another one, but this one was a little bit too brutal for me with the rolling hills. It was just, you know, something. If I ever do a race like this again, I will definitely do some strength training and run up and down that bridge in our town because we don't have any hills.
We don't have a lot of hills.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about the race, and you kind of alluded to your time, we have to talk about your time. We had a bet, right? Yes. I don't remember what it was, though. Do you?
I said I was going to run it sub 3:18.
Yeah, and I usually say faster, so that means I won.
Yes, yes. You said I would be faster than 3:15, I believe.
Yes.
Good thing we're not betting for money.
So, in addition to that, how fast were you at Utah compared to your other runs during that time in your life when you were slower?
So in Utah, I finished about 10 minutes faster. And here, I also finished...
10 minutes faster than your PR?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to get 10 minutes off your time, find a downhill race and suffer through it.
No, I really do think that. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy on social media, Facebook and all that stuff where people say, well, should you really be claiming this? Not me in general, but like, you know, a lot of people PR'd. So there was a question, should you really be claiming that as a PR? And, you know, obviously I'm not at the fitness where I could run a 3:09 at a flat course like Chicago. At the same time, I'm not trying to run or qualify for the Olympic trials. So in my head, if this is a race that exists and everyone is able to sign up for it, then I feel like it's fair game. But yeah, you know, again, for Olympic trial qualifiers and all that stuff, it's probably a good thing that those races do not qualify you.
It's tough, though, too, because a lot of races, even like the LA Marathon, is a gradual downhill if you look at the elevation, or it used to be. I don't know if I've changed it. So a lot of races are going to be slightly different in terms of the amount of elevation or hills or where it starts and finishes. So, I mean, this is maybe an extreme of that. But if, like you say, if you're not like going at it professionally, like, shouldn't really matter, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's just so many variables too, because, you know, weather, you can have a race where it's raining, downpouring, freezing, or you can have a race like New York the last week where it's just super hot and humid and you won't have the same results. So obviously we're not all running a marathon on a treadmill where it's 68 degrees inside of the house. So it's tough to compare them. Of course there's gravity, but, you know, some people don't even like that type of race. So
yeah, I mean, you have elevation too, and running downhill is a whole nother, you know, skill, I guess, or strain on your body. And it's, I mean, obviously, even with both those races, you only gained 10 minutes, which is a lot, but at the same time isn't a lot if you're riding downhill the whole time. Like if you were doing it on a bicycle or something, it would be much, much faster than 10 minutes.
Right. And you still have to, unlike a bike where you kind of just sitting on it, you still have to have a certain level of fitness because, you know, when I ran that first race, when I wasn't training for marathons, I was never going to run a 3:09. And right now I'm at a better level of fitness than I was before. So obviously it's going to just push me in the right direction.
So questions, are you going to try to better your flat race marathon to a sub 3:10?
I don't think necessarily that I want to do that, but I did use this race to kind of break this mental barrier of that 318 number that in my head I was never able to break, because I've done, I think, 5 marathons all in that 318 range. And so I really wanted to use this race to get past that. What I want to do for running it, you know, right now we've got the kids to focus on. I also want to focus on work. And like I've told you before, I love running. I don't necessarily enjoy racing to the point of nausea, like this race where I finished and I was nauseated and my lungs hurt and I finally realized what it's like when people say they're in pain from racing. It wasn't in pain from downhill. It was just because the effort level I put in was so high. So I don't really enjoy that as much as I do, you know, Chicago, where I run comfortable.
Given this marathon was a 5 on the Letty Lager scale, would you consider doing it again to get a sub-3?
No. No. I don't feel like that's, you know.
Never say never.
I don't feel like that's a priority right now. Next year, I've picked out a bunch of races. A lot of them are kind of almost sightseeing purposes. But I do want to stay at my current level of fitness and maybe improve a little bit. But not... Nothing like that. I'm excited for you to start training for your June marathon in Stockholm that we'll be running together. You know, things like that are more, I think, of a goal for me.
So any advice for people who might want to shave 10 minutes off their marathon time by participating in the Big Bear Marathon?
I mean, I think everyone should just go for it. I think people have probably a better experience than me because I don't have hills, like I said, ever here. I always run flat. So if you live in any other city that is not in Florida or somewhere pancake flat, then this race might be a lot of fun for you. It's a great, great swag, great experience. I'd highly recommend it. I just would never do it again.
So when you say go for it too, I think you alluded to some things that were beneficial, is that like if you want to get over that mental barrier or something, then it might be a good thing to do. I personally don't know. I don't really like running downhill that much, but I think I like running more remote in like a big, I've been in Big Bear a lot, you know, dirt biking and other stuff when we lived in California. I think that would be a lot more fun to me than just like running through, you know, streets as much. But that's just, everyone's different, right? Like, I like being in nature more. And and so...
Oh, it was beautiful, Ryan. I think you would have really enjoyed it. You know, you look up and you see the mountains, you see the sunrise and snow-capped, whatever, trees and all that stuff. It was really pretty.
Yeah. Any other last words of wisdom or anything else you want to say about the Big Bear Marathon?
No, I think that wraps it up pretty well. I'll be posting some pictures on Instagram, the Instagram. So if you haven't followed us yet, we are at Running Podcast.
I hate when you add the in front of this.
The Instagram.
But so turkey trot season, or in other words, Thanksgiving coming up, and you had a turkey trot planned for tomorrow, but sounds like you've nixed that for sake of your sore legs.
Legs are still a little bit sore. It's only been a week tomorrow. And so we're skipping that. But hopefully we'll find another one for next week.
So there's still hope for a turkey trot?
I hope so. How about you?
In turkey trot season? Yeah, no, I don't mind. 5Ks are fun. They're kind of quick.
Are you going to wear your turkey gear?
You'll probably make me. I don't know.
I think I threw it out.
So anyway, for all the people out there with turkey trots on the schedule, good luck.
Tag us on the Instagram so we can see what your costumes look like if you're wearing one. Or just, you know, share your results with us because we love seeing that kind of stuff, especially Ryan. He gets super excited.
And if you can't find the Instagram, just look, tag us on Instagram.
And then don't forget about Black Friday. Hopefully we can find some really cool deal when it comes to running shoes. I know my friends have been sending me screenshots of the Endorphins, and maybe there will be some Alpha Flies. So if we find some, we will post that too, because who wouldn't want to get a good deal on those shoes?
And if that's the end, have a happy week of running.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information, head to www.runningpodcast.us. And as always, have a great week of running.